I'm going to go over, as you can see, I put up a gazillion things. I'm not going to go over them all. They are kind of references for you to some degree. CSS is tricky. And so, essentially, a lot of what you can do... Okay, we can do this. Yeah, okay, there went one of them. A lot of what you can do is go in and just try to find templates that are close to what you want. And I listed a bunch of areas where you can go for templates. And you can go and look at other areas too. So I just brought one up. And it's got... This one says CSS layout templates. And it says, okay, to do a two-column, to do a three-column. They basically give you a bunch of different, and these are mainly to go to different sites. Okay? Or you can just go in, and here's another free web templates. And they give you a whole centered single-column layout. Two-column centered flexible width layout. And you can just go and look up. You don't have to go with mine. You can just go up and look up CSS templates. And free website templates right there. Free CSS website templates. Free CSS website. Do you get the impression that there's a lot out there?
Yeah.
And so a lot of what you can do... Dreamweaver has some good templates. A lot of what you can do is go out and find a template. So here we've got CSS H5 responsive site templates. And they give you a bunch of different templates. You can change the pictures. You can change anything. But a lot of people will use those, okay, rather than starting from scratch. They will find a template that has a basic layout of what they want, and they'll start and they'll use that as opposed to reinventing the wheel constantly. Okay, so that's what I'm trying to get across, is that setting these up can be a real pain in the neck.
So over the last assignment, I think it was, I don't remember. Not the syllabus, but the one before that, I was trying to find some text, just like whatever, and I was like, oh, I'll just go to like one of my, like, there's like a comic online that's like awesome, and I like how he sets his text up. So I went to a CSS, just went into it, and just copy and paste it. Like, I was like, oh, that's cool. So I think for future, it's just a good resource just to kind of look around if you like a text or something like that, just boom, boom.
Right. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's perfectly legal and perfectly legitimate.
I think it was, it was just like CSS, it was just like, went right up
just
to
how it.
Yeah, just how it was displayed.
What, where I went? Can you tell me what to
do? The website? It was kind of goofy. It was theoatmeal.com.
Okay.
If you want.
So I'm going to write
theoatmeal.com. He makes it with cake PHP. It has a lot of goofy stuff.
So are you talking about this right now?
Just the text. I want to see like how he has the latest up there and most popular. Like that. It's like, oh, let's see. So right click. There's going to be a pterodactyl or something. But he messes with the CSS a little bit. Yeah. And then just goes there. So just keep going down. And then if you go look into like the link real style sheet. Text CSS up. It's the href there. If you go, it says meta name, and then link.
Wait a minute,
hreference
right here.
Yep, click on that. There you go. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So that's what he's using. He was using Gil Sans Georgia Palantino Helvetica Serif. And I was like, that works for all of H1s. So.
No, you're right. If you go in and you can look, and he's decided that, okay, these are how he's setting up his font sizes, and this is how he's setting up his table, and, you know, you can go in and take a look at these. So, I mean, you know, at the beginning, I like you to try experimenting on your own, but we're kind of getting past that now. And so you're more than welcome to try and use other information that you find out there. Go and find a template that you like. Go and find a look that you like.
Computer stuff. Just don't mind the swears. Just throwing it up there. All the weird references and stuff.
So anyway, basically that's the point I guess I'm trying to get across, is that you should go and find some interesting references and... it's more than acceptable to use those to lay things out that you want to lay out. Okay. I have a few down here that I did. Okay, so here's a center one column page. Okay. And again, I'm not trying to make these beautiful. I specifically wanted a different background color there just so that it would be obvious what I was doing and where I was doing it. So I went in, and if you look at the view page source on this, okay, so I have it set up, and I have a lot of different things going on here. Now, one of them is I'm using ID as opposed to class. Okay, so I've got ID container, ID header, and down here ID footer. Notice the number sign in front of those, which means I've got an ID. Class has a dot in front. ID has a number sign in front. Now, ID is supposed to be used for things like this, big picture things, because IDs are not supposed to be reused. So in other words, if I have an ID header, it should be a one-time thing. Whereas if I have a class, I can have it repetitive. I can have used the class 10 different places. ID is supposed to be more... the big picture. So I've got an ID which is called container. Then I put in it an ID called header. Then I put in an ID called navigate. And then I have content. And within content, this would have been probably a good point to move over to class. I didn't. I gave them separate names. But that would have been a place where I could have moved over to class, especially if I wanted to have a lot of different looks going on. And then I have ID footer. So ID is supposed to be used only once and more big picture. The header part of my page, the content part of my page, the footer part of my page. And then within that, if I want to set up a look, I can switch over and use class. And as I said, these two would have been a good place to use class. I was using all IDs here just because I was doing IDs. But that would have been a good place to have class because that's more about the look of a particular of things inside, and I wanted a different look for a web developer and a different look for multimedia or whatever. So those would have been a good place to have class, yeah.
So you would use ID for something like, because I'm just trying to understand, like when you say big picture, I think like the body, so or like that. So why don't you just use body, you know what I mean?
Right, but this is more breaking the body down into, okay, I'm going to have
sections.
A header up at the top.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a navigate area right in there.
Yep.
I'm going to have a container right there, and I'm going to have a footer down there.
It's like the page, sort of like the general page.
Yeah, yeah. That tends to be the way people use it.
Like in sections, like it would be like a, let's say you had a body and it's humongous, and you had like a chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, let's say. then you would use ID for
you
each
could
chapter?
Definitely, you, sure,
or is it like,
sure.
Okay.
But you could also use class.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
In fact, you can go through life never using ID.
Yeah.
And always use class. And that's fine. But if you read up, and I actually meant to tell you to, at some point, I meant to put in this thing that you should read something about ID in class. But ID can't be repeated, and ID, again, tends to be for this is the header, this is the container, this is the body. And then within the container, I'll have 5,000 things going on, but they'll all have classes on them.
So you can't use ID, like you could use container in another spot.
Right. Right. So over here, you know, I've got div, and people tend to do this with divs. So they tend to break up the page with divs, and I assume that the reason for that is divs don't have anything built into them, other than when the div is over, it starts on another line. But that's really the only thing built into a div, whereas paragraph has something built into it. Div is pretty free. And so the breakup of the page here was, okay, I've got a body, and I've got a div, and ID container is the entire thing. And you'll see this style done a lot. Why couldn't you do it in body? You could. It is body. But you'll see that style done a lot when you go out there. So they set up a div to hold the whole thing. Then I put in a div, which is the header. Okay? And then I've got a div, which is the navigate. And that's part of the header. So my header is including the div to navigate. And you'll notice there's two closes down here. I open the ID header, I open the div header, I open the div navigate, and I close both of them there. The content, I put two other divs in there, and again, those could have been classes where I talked about different pages, close those all up, and then I have a div for the footer, and the footer is over there. Okay, so this particular layout and this way of laying it out tends to be one that you see a lot. Okay, now this is a very simple layout, but it tends to be the kind of layout you see a lot. So then when I come up here, okay, container is really like body. And yes, you could have done it for body and it would have been just fine. Because my whole thing is in the container, but I said a margin, zero, and auto, and width, 700 pixels, background color white, color navy. Then I came down, and the header was going to be text-align centered. The navigate, background color navy, display inline. And then I came down, and I have a list, okay, and that's the list that's going across. But I said display it in line. So that's my list. And if you go scroll down a little further, you can see that I set it up as a list.
Okay. Ordinarily, a list would look like this, but when I say display it in line, it displays it all next to each other.
So I get a list, but it's displayed in line. Let's see if I can get that to. Yeah. Okay. So it's displayed in line, and therefore you will see it going across like that. Okay.
So, like, really nifty thing with CSS when it comes to, like, organizing links and lists and whatnot. You know, like, the whole, what you've got there, you have, like, the whole, like, columns on the sides and whatnot, like, not frames, but, like, other
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, you can do an incredible, I mean, lately I swear the CSS is longer than the page itself. While you organize the CSS and set it up. And it's also, as I have said before, CSS grew, and it grew in a kind of disorganized way, in my opinion. And therefore, you've got, you know, things that contradict each other, and it's working just fine, and you throw something in, and, oh, that is not what I wanted to happen. Yeah.
Could you please repeat again, why this, like, link come in line instead of, like, bullets?
By using display in line. And I said display and inline block, but display in line, I think, would have gotten the same thing.
Okay.
So it's displaying in line. Well, if you look up inline block.
Exactly.
Okay.
CSS.
You can create a grid of boxes that fill the browser width and wrap nicely. Inline block, it's even easier. Elements are like inline elements, but they can have a width and a height. Okay, so inline block apparently got me a width and a height because I wanted to put it into a block.
Maybe you'd actually do regular inline. Yeah.
You tried it.
I'm just seeing W3 Schools as an inline default value. Displays an element as an inline element.
Right.
The other one as a block element.
And I may have just been playing around with block. I don't remember. I did that a year or so ago. And I may have just been playing around with block.
Yeah, there's inline, there's block, and then there's inline block.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So basically that, my main thing there was to show you a little bit about ID and to show you a little bit about classes. Okay. So then I went on and I said, center a two-column page. And I just added in another column to this one. And again, it's not exactly looking beautiful. But I added in another column. Okay. So I've got that extra column sitting out on the side. And I came down here, and there's my little thing sitting on the side. And I gave that an ID of bar. Okay, so that has got been set up. I just added in to here an ID equals bar. And if you look up at the top, okay, where's bar? There it is. Float to the right. Okay, so I told the bar to float over to the right, and I gave it a width of 140 pixels. And again, I must have been playing with inline block that day, because that's an inline. Okay, block. And then I dropped the content down. So my content is 550 pixels so that I have room over there for the little bar. But my whole thing is 700 pixels, so I don't have an awful lot of room, and I put a blank in between. Okay, so the whole thing is 700. This is 550. This is 140. And then I put something, the bar in between there, a margin. But that was only 2 pixels, so there's 8 pixels floating around.
What did you say? Is it just that you didn't allocate the space? Oh, like, how did you get the bar in between the CSS options and the... how'd you get the space between bar and the...
I put a margin on the navigate. Oh, wait a minute. No, that isn't the navigate.
I'm just trying to find it.
No, you're right. That was the navigate with the 2 pixels I read was in between the things I put up in the navigate.
It's in the navigate?
No, that I was saying the wrong thing when I said the 2 pixels. I just looked at the wrong place. I don't think I ended up doing that.
Or write 2 pixel solid white navigate?
The 2 pixel solid white is in the navigate.
Yeah.
These are the 2 pixels in here. Mm-hmm. Between these things, that's those 2 pixels right there.
Oh, all right.
Does it automatically add that space when you float something, right?
Say that when you float it?
Yep.
Well, I floated it to the right.
Yep.
So it's floated over there with... Well, let's play with it.
Sure.
Because I don't have any images in this. Edit, select all. Edit, copy. You do it too if you want to. And then you can play with it as well. Edit, paste, file, save as, test nav, or something like that, .html, and save it. Okay, so let's see what happens if I go in here and make this 160 pixels.
Go for it.
Let's go for 200 and let's just see what happens if I change that to 200
pixels.
File, save. So I'm going to now file, open file. And I'm on the T drive. I think I put it on the T drive. And I don't see it, so maybe I didn't. File, save as. No, I didn't.
It's under C, documents.
Yeah. We'll put it on the T drive because that's really where I wanted it to be. So it didn't have room, and so it basically ignored the fact that I said float to the right, because the only thing I changed there, okay, I changed that from 200, I mean from 140 to 200. It said it couldn't fit it in because my total was 700. Okay, so now let's change it to 100. Whoops. Let's change it to 100. And before I do that, I should take a picture of it at the 200. Okay. So now I'm going to do a refresh. And there it is, over is the 100. And apparently it's floating over to the right, and I'm getting more of a margin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think it's just centered in between that space or something?
Yeah.
It's all the way to the right.
It's because the width of that.
It's going all the way to the right.
So it's got space between that image to the right and the text to the left.
Yeah.
That's what it is. There's. It's just.
And if I made it exactly, what, 150?
Yeah, that's good.
Right. And so if I do the view source here. Okay. And now if I come in here and make, where is it?
It's lower. It's in Hashtag bar.
There it is, yes. So I want to make it 150, right?
Yeah.
Only I can't do that. Got to do it here. Okay, so 150 and do a file save. Okay, and a refresh. So now it's right up next to it. So the way I got the margin was putting the 140, which left a little bit of left, and since I was floating it to the right, it gave me that margin.
So the whole thing's in one big division with an ID called container. You said that thing would be 700 pixels wide.
That's right.
One thing is 550 pixels, the other is 150. So you used all of your space.
So they're jammed together.
Yeah.
When I said 140, it left me a little bit of room. When I said 160, or actually I didn't, I said 200, it took it out.
Yeah.
Threw it down below.
So that's, and what we just did is what I do when I do this, because if there's anything that I'm not comfortable with, it's CSS.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with some things, but I'm not comfortable with everything. I find CSS very tricky. And I find that I do a lot of this. Let's see what I do if. Let's see what I do if.
Yeah.
And yeah, I spend my, you know, my CSS time doing the what if I, what if I. And then eventually, by experimenting, you get the look that you're comfortable with. But you go in and you experiment with it. And then the bad news is, once you've experimented with it, you have to go over to another browser. And see if that other browser is going to support it the same way. Explorer being the tricky one. Okay? Because Explorer will interpret some things differently. Okay? So if I open Explorer, we'll see if we get the same thing. Okay, and it did. So Explorer is showing it the same way. But there are some things when you try to do them that you will notice when you go over to Explorer. Whoops,
yeah.
It's not interpreting it the same way. And so then you got to go back off and experiment.
Do Chrome? Does Chrome really get affected by?
No, Chrome, at least my experience is that Chrome and Firefox tend to be in the same family.
Yeah.
They're both Mozilla kind of background, and so I don't tend to see the big difference with those. Yes, I have Chrome at home, and I look at it in Chrome too.
Yeah.
Lots of times. But Explorer is the one. And in fact, there used to be, and I don't know if there is now, but there used to be a note up on our BCC website. Can't remember. Oh, when you were entering data in, that said they advised you not to use Explorer, to use Firefox.
Makes sense.
Because basically, whatever they had did not work as well in Explorer as it did in Firefox. I don't know if that sign is gone or whether I just don't notice it anymore, but it used to be there. Okay, this is two columns. Okay, and basically I set this up as two columns, and in this one you can tell right away that I have mixed in some IDs and some classes. Okay, because you can see the number sign on some of them, and you can see the dot on some of them. So there's some number signs, and there's some classes mixed in. Okay, the left side, the big thing here, the left side has a width of 180 pixels, and its height is 100% because I want it to be use the entire page. Okay, so the left side is like that.
I think with this thing, if you were trying to make this web page, I think it would be probably better if you used just random. But it'd be better if you used the ID for the left side, and then you also used an ID for the main indent code, and then have like the classes just kind of customize whatever's inside.
Okay.
Things? I don't know if that's.
No, that's fine.
Makes sense.
I think what I did is I started out with main right. And then I basically put in some indent code that I wanted to play around with indenting. Okay. And then I went over and I looked at another two columns and put it over on that side. So with just minor tweaks, you can go from the left side to the right side. Okay. And then I put one where I use three columns. So I put something on both the left and the right. So I now have my right side of 180 pixels. I have my left side of 180 pixels. Okay. And, okay, so if you look at this, on the main one, I said go in left 180, from the right go 180. So this is going to be 180 to the left and the right, left open. And then I've got the right side, which is 180, and I've got the left side, which is 180. And so that's how I sized the thing. Okay, so I made the main have a margin of 180 on the left and 180 on the right. And then I could put left and right bars in there going down the sides at 180.
Pretend you didn't put that 180 in the main stuff, the left and right, like main center. If you got rid of,
try it. If you want to,
just for those.
So what do you want to experiment with?
Just getting rid of the 180. You put in main center, you had 180 pixels and 180 pixels.
So you want me to do
just
what?
Get rid of those.
Just get rid of them totally.
Yep. See what happens. So I mean, like, you've got the sides there. I was just wondering if that would affect the look of the page or if it would keep the way it is.
I should take a picture of this before. Okay. Did I take both of them out?
You took, I think so. Okay. I thought you took
all of them. No, I.
No?
Did I? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you got rid of
them.
You got top and bottom, but you don't
have. Okay. I'm perplexed. Anybody got a theory?
How did you put it in the body?
I didn't change anything. I just took those two out. So basically.
Where's right side? Right side's above main center, right?
I'm looking for right side.
It's up at the top, top.
Yes. So right side is up there, so we'll put right side in first. So if we put right side down below...
The left side is above page 72.
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah. I actually know the left side is up, is below main center.
Yep.
In writing the code.
That's what I was... That's what I was...
So if I take right side, well, you feel free to experiment to your heart's content. But essentially, I think it would be fun to try. Take and move the right side. Because it's the right side that's showing up, right? So if we take this right side and it ends there... this is the menu was part of what? All of this is right side, right? And if I put that down here and did a file save, I think I'm probably going to mess this up so badly that... Okay, it's now back and on top. So by putting them down below, they're back. But notice both of them are on top.
Yeah, right on top of that.
So the main is down at the bottom, but you can see over here this is on top first. So it set up the main for the entire thing, and then it put the right and the left in. But it cut out, because I didn't have the margins on the main, it cut out some text. And apparently what happened was when I did the left first, the left got went on, and then this overrode that. Okay. So you get the idea a little bit about how easy it is to create a disaster. Okay. And that's what we're basically doing here.
Thanks for doing that, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome. And then three columns with a header. And again, this is not great style, but this is three columns with a header. Okay, so now I've got a header that is got a height of 130 pixels. Okay, and it's got a width of 100%. So it's going all the way over and it's going up 130 pixels. Okay, so the tops on all of these are changing to have 130 pixel margin so that the header, okay, so the tops on all of these, the top on the right side, the top on the left side, and the top on the main, if you scroll down, have all changed and now have 130 pixels. Okay? So that gives me the margin across the top, and it's going a width of 100%, and it's 130 pixels. So that buys me my margin. And then if I go to the next one, it gives me a header and a footer. So now I've added in a footer that is 100% and a width and a height of 80. And so I have put a bottom margin on all of these of 80 so that the bottom margin goes in. Okay. And again, I made it 100%. So you can see how the margin and the positioning ends up changing how the things look. So you can take those and you can change the margins and you can do all kinds of things and create monsters, basically, by playing around with those. Questions? Anybody tried anything good? And that's what I find, that you really have to do a lot of playing around with CSS. I mean, I find that I do it in small increments. I don't in any way try to put all the CSS up there at once. I kind of get some things positioned, and then I experiment and try to get some more things positioned, and, you know. And then I compromise. You know, oh, you're going to do it that way? Okay, I can live with that. I do some of that, too.
When I was trying that on one of my homework assignments, I found that between the browsers, I had all three of them, I had to keep switching my height on one of my margins. I was like, why is this happening?
And the more precise you are, the better. So the more that you give the font size and give all of the information, the more precise you are, the less the browser can do its thing mixed in.
Yeah.
So I find that if I'm very precise, and sometimes I add stuff in that I really probably don't even need, but I'm trying to be very precise, and that tends to be the best way of beating the one browser doing it one way and one browser doing it another way. Okay, so those are some of the experiments that you can play around with. The next thing I'm going to do is we're going to keep looking at a little more CSS. So I'm going to look at CSS sample code under HTML5. This first one is something that someone did. I can't remember who. But if you put the things in quotes, it doesn't work. Notice I have no alignment and no color happening here because I put everything in quotes. Okay? Now, up here I put them in big quotes. Down here, because style equals has double quotes around it, I have to use single quotes inside. In order to do it wrong. And that's what I'm doing, is doing it wrong. Okay, so you don't want to put the quotes around. And people tend to fall into that trap because back in the good old days when I set up and just wrote text align equals, you tended to put them in quotes. Okay, so that one does not work. However, on the next one, I took it and basically came in without those, and it works just fine. Now, there are, if you go to W3 schools or any of the others that have colors, there are definite colors that are supported. There are, you can use any combination of 0 through F. And you can write any combination you want for a color, and you'll get a color. The color may be different in the different browsers slightly, there is a set of colors that are supported. I think it's 140, but I don't remember. There are a set of colors that are supported. And what I found out is when I went to validate, if I used a random set of ABCDs in there, that it didn't validate. It told me that the color wasn't a good color. But you can still use those. It's just that it's not going to be a supported color and it's not going to validate. And so I went in and changed them because I had picked some random colors. And I went in and changed them and then it validated. Okay. And then I went in just for the fun of it on the next one and used the names. So I have floral white, cornflower blue, and crimson and lime. I got sick of typing the big names. And so basically you can use the names instead. And if you go to W3 schools and look up color or go anyplace else and look up color, they give you the names and the codes for the ones that are accepted. So if I come in here and go to W3 schools, so file, new window. And HTML colors. Yeah, it is 140. There are 140 colors that are considered good. The standard colors are the colors that we used to have. You can type red, orange, yellow, green, and then it grew more. Originally, it was just kind of the red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple. And then they grew more and added in as standard colors, fuchsia, whatever. I just don't think I think of fuchsia and teal as standard colors, but there I am. And then they added 123 more. And we've talked about this before. And somebody actually stayed awake. Alice Blue, which I assume is Alice in Wonderland's color or something. But anyway, we have all of these colors, and somebody actually stayed up and made a name for them all. Okay. So anyway. Whatever. Okay. So, then I went in, and this one is an import. Okay, so I've clearly got a bunch of different styles going on here. And instead of doing the standard link to get to the CSS, this is an alternate that can be used, but you don't see very often. And that's the @import. So I'm importing, which works the same way as if you link. That's okay. Someday mine's going to do that too, so. So you can have, instead of the standard way that you link to get to a page, to an external page, you can also do an import. And as I said, you don't see that very often, but it does work, okay? And I've got two CSS pages that are providing a lot more style than what I have there. And so if I go into those, okay, I can see those pages. And those pages are in the next two. So there's one of them. And there's another one. Again, honestly have not seen those, and I'll turn out that I'll find a million of them recently, but I find most people tend to do the links and not the imports. But it is an alternative, and you should know that it's out there. But you can do it that way as well.
What's the difference? I mean, they're both kind of like sites that are trying to grab other...
They're just giving you all the CSS, right?
It's just a different way of doing it,
best I can figure out. And as I said, the majority of sites I've gone to, when I've looked, have the link. But as I said, maybe it's just that the import ones are the days I'm not looking. But I haven't seen anywhere near as many of those. Okay. So this one does not validate. Okay, so it has an error on it. It does not validate. And we will see the next one, which will have it validate in a minute. Actually, there's two errors, but one of them I don't think gave me any grief. I've got an H4 down here in capital letters.
Yep.
And that didn't give me any grief. Because you actually can write in upper and lower, apparently. But this is where my problem is. My font size, space, point, 24, space, point. That's where my problem is. Okay, I did that, and it's an error that I make a lot for some reason. I want to have a space after the number before the point or the pixels, and I can't. So that's where my error is. So I'm going to look at the next one, which is the exact same thing. Okay. Where am I? Fixed. That's supposed to be fixed. Did I copy this wrong thing? Yeah. Apparently I put up the wrong thing. Okay, so if I come up here and write fix up here, where's the fix word? Is it there? I think it's before. Nope.
So what do you do?
Yeah, there it is. When I put that up, if you look at the page source back where I listed them, I forgot to write the word fix, and I will try very hard to remember to do that tonight. But if after the H5, notice this has the word fix.
Mm-hmm.
So when you bring it up and it comes up the same, type the word fix after the H5, and you'll get the page that I meant for you to see. Okay? I actually converted these over yesterday, and apparently I did not notice when I was checking that something came up that the wrong thing came up. Pardon me?
In the CSS page?
Right. Yeah, no, in the CSS page, I have, right, if you look at this, it doesn't have the word fix in it. It has the word fix in what I printed, but it doesn't have the word fix in the actual page. If you look at the page. Okay. If you look at the actual page, I put the exact same two pages here. Okay? I don't have the word fix there. See how this is the AH reference to bring up the page? I don't have the word fix in the address on the second one. I have it over here, which tells me that's what it was supposed to be. But I forgot to put the word fix right there. Okay, and I didn't notice this when I was checking because what I was really looking at was, did the page come up? And I didn't look at the minor little change that I made. So if you go back in And when you click on this, add the word fix right up here after the age 5, then you get the fixed version. Because I had it out there, I just didn't type it right when I put it in. And now you can see in the fixed version, there's no space between the 24 and the PT. Okay? So, as I said, I will try hard to remember to fix that tonight.
Okay. So you made those sites, the fixed sites, afterwards, just to kind of show it?
Yeah, I just left the... Lots of times, the ones that I leave up there are the things I did.
Yeah.
And then I say, that's kind of like the kind of thing that people might do, so I'm going to fix it. I'm going to put up the before and after, kind of. And I forgot to write the word fix. So there's a couple of things here that I wanted to point out. First of all, I've got border, padding, text, and color on all of the things up at the top. Okay, so I made different looks in those. But the other thing I want to point out is this is the first part of, and then I inserted an H4 in here. Okay, so I have a division and an H4. Now, usually when I do something like that, it would drop down and give me the H4. But because I said display in line, the H4 is displayed in line. And I also said I wanted to change the size of the H4. It's not what the world says an H4 is. I want to make it 24 points. And then I got 24 point up there. So I inserted an H4 and I made it 20. I changed the fundamental thing about the H4, which is it's smaller than an H3. But I went in and changed that fundamental thing about the H4, and my point is that you can do that. Not sure I think that's the best thing in the world to do, but you can do it.
Yeah.
I can go in and say H4s are fundamentally this size, but I want to have it this size. Then I think this is really neat. This paragraph has letter spacing of 10 points. So every letter is spaced out, and every letter takes precisely 10 points. And so I think that's kind of a neat thing, too. I mean, there's just a lot of neat things you can do with CSS to have a look. But if I really wanted that, your eyes are drawn to that. And there are different things that you can do that will tend to draw people to it. And you have to kind of look at what... You know, what do I want to have them focus on and decide, am I going to try to get them there by color? Am I going to try to get them there by look? What am I going to do? But that's unique enough so that you're, at least when I look at it, my eyes kind of focus down on that. And I notice it. Okay. So those are just some of the other things that you can do. Okay. The next thing, again, for anybody who has any artistic instincts, I realize that there is a problem here. Okay, what I've got here is layered, okay? So I'm layering. And what I did is I put here 3 images. I put a snow image, I put a flag image, and I put a CSSA GIF image. And I put height and width in all of them, and as I said, that's not particularly recommended. I do it because I don't want to make the pictures all the different sizes that I have to when I'm trying to do different things, but you shouldn't do that. Okay, so what I've got here is I set up three classes. One is called Snow, one is Fall Flag, one is called CIS. And those classes go with the images. So when I come up here, I said, okay, Snow is going to have a z-index of 0, where Flag has a z-index of 1, and z-index of 2 goes with CIS. So that z-index provides the layers. So Snow is the 0, or bottom layer. Flag is the next layer up. And the CIS words are the next layer up. I could have started with 1 and gone 1, 2, 3. Okay, it will take either one. I said positioning is absolute, which means it positions from the top right of the screen. And so it put them down top and left 16 pixels, and I did it with all of them so they'd be up at the upper column. But I could have changed the top and the left. Absolute positioning has to do with the top left-hand corner of the screen. Relative positioning has to do with where you're putting it in all the stuff that comes before it and the point that you're putting it at. So absolute positioning positions to the top left. So I've got those going down 16 and in 16, and I've got them layered.
And relative position?
Is at the point you're at. So if you've got a couple of things you've already put on the page, the point where this would go is the relative positioning. There's a really good write-up on that, and I meant to remember that, and I didn't. Okay, so if I do CSS relative versus absolute
position.
Seeing if I can find the one that I thought was really a good explanation, but I don't see it. This says, absolute position is the easiest. You start with the CSS position property. This tells the browser that whatever is going to be positioned should be removed from the normal flow of the document and will be placed in an exact location on the page. It also takes out the normal flow. It won't affect how the elements before or after it looked. So it is just positioning. And you can end up accidentally positioning stuff on top of each other. Relative position uses the same four positioning properties as absolute, but instead of basing the position upon the browser, it starts from where the element would be if it was in the normal flow. So basically, I've already got all these things, and this is where it would be. And it positions from that point. So, for example, if you have three paragraphs on your web page, and the third has a position relative placed on it, its position will be offset based on its current location, not from the original sides. So this is where the paragraph would go, and if you tell it to position, it will move from there, but it's not basing it on the top corner. It's basing it on where it started out.
Wherever
the third paragraph would have gone.
So you can specify where you want that third paragraph to be?
Yes.
By adding, coordinates or something like that? Or pixels?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do the top and the left and the same things. and position in it. Someplace I have one, and well, I'm going to give you a break in a few minutes, and I'll go looking for that. This one is exactly the same thing, only it's using IDs. And this is not a good way of using ID. I just did it to show you it could be done with ID, but ID tends to be more looking at the big structure as opposed to talking about where you want to place a particular picture. So I would use class for these. But you can use ID, and all I did was, instead of writing class equals, I wrote ID equals, and instead of a dot, I put a number sign. And it worked perfectly. But it's probably not the best way to use class. I mean ID. It is a good place to use class. Okay. Positioning a background image. Okay. This one is, I have, my body has a background color of beige. Color of green is my default. Font size I picked. My background image is going to be a URL, CISA.gif. And the background is going to repeat along the x-axis. Okay, so it is repeating along the x-axis. And background attachments scroll, which means when I scroll, I lose it. Okay, so it's going up when I scroll. So I've got a background image that is starting out. It's being repeated on the x-axis. And when I scroll, it's going up. Okay. My next one is going on the y-axis, I believe. And scrolling just makes it keep developing a new one. So repeat on the y-axis, but notice what happens when I scroll. It just keeps adding more of them. Okay, so scrolling doesn't lose it. It just keeps scrolling.
What if you didn't have background attachments scroll?
It doesn't really do anything for you. The next one, I think, answers how you can do fixed. And this one, notice, it stays there. Okay, so this one, I've got no repeat. That means I've got a background. Okay, first of all, I said put it in the top left. No repeat. One of them. Make it fixed, which means that it stays there. Okay? People will use this, and I think down at the bottom is more the position for it, but if they have a company logo, you'll see them some kind showing up, and in a very faint color someplace, like in the bottom or something on that idea. So this is fixed, which means it stays here. And the next one scrolls, which means I lose it. Okay, so if I put a scroll in, I will lose it. It's still top left, no repeat, and the scroll. And then I've got one that I think is down at the bottom. And this one is positioned fixed, so it's going to stay there, bottom right. Okay, so I can put my image, and I think this is a place that at least I've seen them put images a lot, because it's kind of out of the way.
Yeah.
And I would make it a lot fainter than this. So I'd go into paint, and if I were going to do this, I'd make it very, very faint so that you can actually read. So it's almost gone. And put on the logo in a very faint way. And try not to have too much on top of it. But those are different things that you can do.
Can you make your, like, instead of having it, so your CSS, it's in the body with background image, could you put it in its own ID or something like that?
Sure, but then it's just an image.
Yeah.
It's not a background image.
Yeah, yeah. You need to have it in the body.
You know, so if you want to have it a background such that stuff can go over it. I mean, I've also seen them in the center. You can center things. It doesn't have to be top left and top right. You can also do center. And I've also seen them, you know, center a very, very, very faint logo. Not particularly like it, but they center it and they make it very, very tiny or very light, almost, you know, almost so that you don't see it. Okay. This is basically setting up, and I've got a class to the right and a class to center and a class to float. And I have put a lot of these things over here. When I put the class to float, I'm floating it to the right. Okay, so if you scroll down here, I've got a few things that I've put over to the right. Okay, and so these were done with float. I floated something over to the right, I floated something over to the right. And notice text goes around it when you float it to the right. So floating, I've said, make the color, meaning the any text that I put in it, maroon, and make it a width of 30% and float it over there. So that's how the size is picked. As I said, float it to the right, make the text maroon, and make it a width of 30%.
Okay. What is a clear, right? Very bottom. Last,
Oh, the another page you're talking about. Right?
Go ahead to the bottom. Is this clear, right?
Oh, right. Okay.
It's like this will not flow and go on. It's like in the middle, I think, of that green. I was kind of curious what it was.
No, that's just basically I'm clearing out. Clear right. This will not flow on and go on and on and on and on. Okay? And I'm putting in there, it's right at the bottom. I have right above it floating text that went over there and was a width of only 25%. And then I cleared out the right. I'm trying to think of how to say that. Actually, the next example gets into that. So let's look at the very next example. Okay, so this will float to the left, and then I put in some that float to the right. So on some of these, I use the float class, and others I just said, I want to float this to the right, I want to float that to the left. And so the float kind of breaks up the way I was doing things and floats it over to the right or the left. Okay? And then wraps the other text kind of around it. It's one of those things to be careful of. Because then, okay, so now I am, okay, going down here and the floating text will still stay there. And still float. but when I get to the image, I'm losing some of the image when I do that because it's not going well enough. One of the things we're going to look at next week in this is what's called responsive web design. And that's where you have in CSS something, it's a command called @media. And you put it in there, and so it will detect the size of your screen, and then you can tell it different ways you want it to code depending on the size of your screen. So that if you made it for a full page here, and then you want to bring it up on a cell phone, you can tell it how you want things to look differently when it goes out to a cell phone, and how you want it to look if it goes to a small iPad and all the rest of it. And so you get to pick and say, okay, if the width is between this and this, this is the look I want. If it's between this and this, this is the look I want. And you can keep changing the look. And it's called responsive web design, so that you can have one page that people can view. My site, I don't know how many of you have tried working on it in the cell phone. Some of it works okay. Some of it, you know, is a little harder to read. But a lot of it is just text, and just text tends to be all right. Where did my take a picture go? There it is. Okay, then the last thing that's up there that you were asking about. I think I need to close up just a few of these. Good Lord. I clearly didn't close anything. And I probably closed what I didn't want to close, right? Yeah, I did. I closed. Okay. So we'll get rid of everything and then we will go back and open Firefox. Come on. Okay, so the last one underneath that was CSS sample, and this was the clear. And this is kind of interesting. Okay. So down below, I have just class first, class second, class third, class fourth, and I just listed a whole bunch of those and gave them a whole different class. Okay, so first and second, I said oh, I really want it to go down. Okay, why is that doing that? There. I guess I'm happy that way. Okay, so first and second are the first two things I said. And notice down below, I have nothing except a division. So I haven't told it anything. Okay, so first and second say color red, float to the left. Okay, and so it does the two and it makes them both red. And it floats them over to the left, one right after another. Then I said, okay, third is going to be color brown, and I want it floated to the right. I'm sorry, color blue, and float to the right. So it floats over to the right. Now notice I'm all on the same line still.
Yep.
Then four says color brown, float to the right. Okay. So four gets floated to the right, but third is already over there, so four goes over like that. Then for fifth and sixth, I said color green, clear the right, and float to the right, which puts it down on the next line. Okay, so that puts it down on the next line. Okay. Then I said, and each of them goes down on the next line. Then I said seventh is going to be floated to the left and is going to be purple. So I'm already down on this line. It stays on that line and floats it over to the left and it's purple. The next one says eighth, float that to the left, so that goes into the same place. The ninth says clear both, which means it will go down onto the next line. Okay, and so it goes down on the next line and floats over to the right.
So what did both do?
Cleared out that it wouldn't be on the left or the right.
It just does the exact same thing as like if you said clear right. Right.
No, because okay, this one up here, when I said clear right, it came down and just cleared out the right. And I think if I had something on the left, it would have been. No, you may be right.
So if you put, like, let's pretend you put both in the fifth and the sixth.
Okay, no, let's do it then. Because I thought I was experimenting quite well with this, but you're right. I missed some of the possibilities. But this is the best way, I think, at least, to do it. So where do you want to put, do it?
Just put it instead of right, put both.
Put a both there.
Yeah.
File, save as, test, clear. Didn't do anything.
Now put clear left with the front of it in both. That same spot where you put clear both in the fifth and the sixth.
Okay.
Clear left now. Just see if it does anything else.
I think those will push them over to the left. All right, wait a minute. Notepad. File, open. T drive. And I want test clear, right?
Yep.
And I don't want to close it this time. So you want me to put left here?
Yeah. You have to float it right, but you also cleared the left, so what's it going to do?
That's a good question. I did not experiment with that. Okay. So now I need to...
Oh.
Okay. So, we got first, second, third, fourth. Then fifth went over because I cleared left. I didn't clear right. Six came in right after it. And because I didn't clear anything, seventh floated over to the left, eighth floated over there, and clear both got me the pink down below. Okay. So what if I do on 7th, I'm going to, 8th, I'm going to put a clear in both in here and see what that does for me.
I think it's just going to give a space out of the...
Everybody's going to make guesses, and then we'll see, and we'll all be wrong.
Yep, totally.
Okay, so on 8th I said clear both, so it cleared out both sides, put the 8th in over on the left, and then the 9th cleared both, and so it had to make a clear on both sides, so it dropped down to the next line.
You know, so
this...
You don't have it clear both on the bottom.
I think this is still going to be experimentation on your own
type of deal. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
A good portion of this is. And after you've experimented enough and actually used it enough, you might possibly even say, oh, I know how to do this and remember it.
I remember that. It's going to be, wait, that again? I remember it, but I don't remember how to do it.
It all depends on how creative you want to be. If you want to keep it simple, you can avoid a whole lot of things. And if you want to be exploratory, you can pull your hair out along with.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, let's take a little break. I want to put those. Oh, I left one of the things in my office. I'm glad we took a break. I'll go get it.